For those of you who don't know me, I am Johnny Popovitz, and I am honored and I consider it a privilege every time I get to come and share with you. And I have to be honest that this one is a lot like me. It's a little short. So tall people, you know, but it'll be good. I believe that God is going to speak to all of us in some way. And he's going to speak to us in a still small voice. He might do it in a big flash of, you know, recognition, an aha moment. However he does that, I want to make sure that we're all engaged. There are different ways for you to connect as we explore God's word today. One of them is in this blue. It's a blue insert, right? Yes, it's blue. Colors are not always my best friend. So there's a blue insert you can use to follow along. If you are a smartphone person, you can open up the YouVersion Bible app, and there's a live event. I encourage you to just listen. Listen to what God has to say to you. A few weeks ago, Pastor Julie started this series. This series called Playlist. And she started by asking, what's on your playlist? And I thought long and hard about that. It kind of depended on my mood. You know, my kids make fun of me all the time because they're like, especially when I'm washing dishes or I'm helping to cook dinner or something, I'll turn on like my favorite 90s playlist and I'm singing all these songs, and my 8-year-old will come in and go, you know, Dad, that music's really terrible. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks. Or my teenage daughter will wander in and say, you know, you should really listen to more Christian music. And I'm like, well, okay, but, you know, I'm washing dishes. This is a good time here. You know? My playlist varies. It goes back and forth. I thought about the message of hope from Julie's message when she first introduced this series. And I thought about songs that spoke to me about hope. Songs that inspired me. I thought about the awesome message of grace for broken people that Pastor Steve talked about last week. And how so many people in our lives need to hear that. And I wondered what type of music in my life conveyed that message to me. See, music, it has a way of speaking to all of us. You know, studies have shown us that when we're sad, we actually enjoy listening to sad music. When we're happy, we listen to upbeat, snappy tunes. We move a little bit. So what have you been listening to lately? How have you been feeling? Music is something that's always been a very big part of my life. Growing up, my mom was a songwriter. She wrote folk music and Christian music and country music, and mostly things I did not like to listen to. But there was always something that she was playing. She was playing a song on the guitar, on the piano. She was playing a record. She was just always listening to music. And it got to the point that we could always tell what kind of mood Mom was in by the music she was listening to. You know, if it was the Neville Brothers, then maybe she was feeling in a good mood today. She was going to be upbeat. If it was Harry Chapin, then we knew she, you know, maybe she was a little melancholy and my brother and I should stay in the other room. But music, it's always been so important to me. I did not turn out to be a songwriter or a musician, but that love of music has stuck with me. I try as hard as I can to always listen to things that will feed my soul, that will help to fill my life and my ears with a message of hope, with the good news that comes from Christ. I don't always succeed, but I try. So when we first met a few months ago as a team about this playlist series, I had to really think. I thought, what kind of song do I want to do? Do I want to do something fun? Do I want to do something upbeat, something off the wall? Pastor Steve said, I think you need to do a They Might Be Giants song. And I said, well, I don't know. For those of you who don't know They Might Be Giants, just think of like Weird Al and like, you know, just songs that are really kind of funny and off the wall. And I said, no, I don't think so. And I started to think. I started to pray. And the more I prayed, I kind of didn't like where I was going. I felt like God was asking me to get really personal and really honest with Him and myself and with everyone else. To be honest, it kind of scared me a little bit. So I continued to pray, thinking that maybe God would change His mind and ask me to not be so honest. That doesn't really happen. And so I began to share my feelings with others. I felt so burdened. And so I told my wife, I really don't know where to go. I don't know what to do, but I feel this incredible weight on my shoulders. And she listened and she prayed for me, and it was amazing. I talked to my kids, and it was in talking to my kids about how I felt, about what God was asking me to talk about, that I was just kind of blown away. My 10-year-old, she asked me, first of all, she said, well, have you looked in God's Word? I said, well, yeah. I mean, I have. I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I look in God's Word. Why are you asking me that? Did you clean your room? I mean, come on. It's like, so I did, and I told her, I said, I just feel so burdened. I feel like there's just so much going on right now. There's so much that I can't carry on my own. And it was just funny because then my oldest daughter had shared this verse with me from Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. It's powerful. It's powerful when your kids share that with you. It's powerful when you read it in God's Word. But somehow I still felt heavy laden. I felt like I was carrying something on my shoulders so big and so heavy that when I prayed, I remember saying to God, God, I'm trying to lay this down at your feet. I'm trying to just let go of these things, but I feel like it's even too heavy for me to take this off on my own. And then my 10-year-old came back to me. And she said, you know, Dad, I think I know the song you need to do. And I said, oh, really? What's that? She said, it's called God Only Knows. And it's by a group called For King and Country. And I said, I know them. I'm familiar with them. I said, I'll check it out. And I listened to it. And it spoke to my heart. And then I watched the music video that the band put out for it, and I bawled like a baby. We all carry burdens, and God knows what they are. And we're not meant to walk and carry these things alone. So friends, here's our song selection for this week. It's called God Only Knows by For King and Country. Have you ever felt broken? I do. Have you ever felt ashamed? Because sometimes I do. Trapped? Alone? I do. And friends, I feel a lot like Jacob Schilke, who stood up here earlier sometimes. He said he had to learn it's okay to ask for help. You see, friends, for a long time, God has been working on me. And over the course of, I'd say, maybe the last few years, you know, my wife and I have been on this amazing journey. And we learned, I mean, there were times where I felt a lot like the woman in that video, standing at the edge all alone. I know that God knows what I'm going through. He knows what it's doing to me, but I still felt so alone. Friends, none of us are meant to carry these things on our own. We need to understand that God has made us to be in relationship with each other and to carry the burdens of one another. To carry them in a way that allows us to lay them down at the feet of Jesus. And we can't do those things alone. The Apostle Paul wrote a powerful letter to churches in the Roman province of Galatia. And this letter is very powerful, and it talks about living a life of faith and love by the Holy Spirit. Near the end of the letter, Paul says this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. He says, "Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." Now, I'm going to get nerdy here for a second. The word that Paul uses for burden in Greek literally means something so heavy that a person is unable to function. Something so heavy that you can't function. Have you ever felt like that? I have. More often than I'd like to admit. Even if you don't think you've ever felt that way, I can guarantee you that there is somebody in your school, somebody that you work with, somebody here at this church, somebody even in your own home that has felt that way. That has felt that there is something so heavy that they can barely even function. Near the end of that verse, Paul says that when we carry these burdens, we're obeying the law of Christ. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is, we get the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And as he's washing their feet, he's telling them that soon he will be betrayed, that soon he'll be crucified, and that he will come again. He's reminding them that life is going to be different for them very soon. And in this way, he starts to kind of lay down the law, so to speak. He gives them a new commandment. And this new commandment helps us to look at the way we need to share one another's burdens. In John chapter 13, it says, "Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." Friends, in order to bear one another's burdens, in order to be there for each other, it's very simple. It starts with love for one another. And then we just need to do two things. Number one, we need to be present with each other. We need to be actively building relationships with people around us. And number two, we have to let people know that we're hurting. You know, you can sit alone in a room and cry out all you want, but if you don't have a relationship with someone, if no one has heard you vocalize or seen that you're in need, nobody is going to come. And friends, that is a sad and lonely place to be. That command is just so simple, yet it's so deep. That love that Christ modeled for us is simply amazing. And it's something that he calls us to do, to love others the same way that he did. When I think about what it really looks like to bear someone's burdens, to help them out, my mind immediately comes to one of the first stories that I ever remember hearing about or reading in the Gospels. It comes to us from Mark chapter 2. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. So picture this scene. I got a small house, so it's kind of easy for me to picture this. Jesus is sitting there in the main room, and he's teaching, and people are excited that he's in town. And so the whole room has begun to fill up. People can't get in and out of the house. They probably can't see through the window because the place is so packed. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. Four friends helping to bear the burden of their friend, a man paralyzed. We don't know why he's paralyzed. We don't know what afflicted him. Was it an accident? Was it a disease? It doesn't matter. What matters is that his friends are helping to carry him to Jesus. But there's a problem. They can't get in. As much as they want their friend to see Jesus, to be healed, to lay him down at the Savior's feet, they can't get in the house. So then they left their friend in the street and went home. No. That's not what they did. What they do next is something remarkable. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Friends, I want to have a faith like that. I want to be able to say to somebody, it doesn't matter what you're going through. I don't need to know why you're hurt, why you're broken, why you're paralyzed. I'm just going to do whatever it takes to get you to the feet of Jesus. I'll dig through a roof. I'll knock down a door. I will show up at work and pray with you. I don't care what it is. I will be there to help carry you to the feet of Jesus. I want to have faith like that. And sometimes I feel like I do, and sometimes I don't know. But I do know that I'm just always blown away every time I think of the fact that Jesus knew that guy was outside. He knew that guy needed healing. And yet when the roof was ripped open and the man was lowered down in front of him, he didn't look at the man first. He looked at the faith of the friends that brought him there. That's how I want to be. And so I did something else that I regretted the other day. I asked God to challenge me. I said, "God, I want to be able to put faith like this into action." And trust me, when you say stuff like that to God, it happens. So be careful. I was at work. And I'm not going to use her real name, but I'll just call her Jane for the sake of the story. I'm at work, and right now I do maintenance work and custodial work for our schools. And I thought, man, I really need to talk to Jane. I need to ask Jane a question. I wonder where she is. And so I walked down another hallway, and I found her. She was in a break room, and I walked in, and she's bawling. She's crying. And I said, "Oh, here we go." And I walked up to her. I didn't ask her what was wrong. I just said her name. And she looked up at me and she said, "Pray with me. I need your help." And so for the next 20 minutes, I don't know why she was upset. I don't know what was wrong, but I prayed with her. I reminded her of the peace and the forgiveness and the love that comes at the feet of Jesus. After that, I hugged her, and she told me to get back to work, and I did. She's a wonderful woman. And she's been on vacation, and I was sending her messages that I'm still praying for her. Just like the woman in that video, we don't know what drove her to the edge of that bridge. God knows, and He cares. But he puts us in each other's lives for a reason. So that when we feel that burden of something too heavy to handle, we could come alongside each other and lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Friends, as we move towards the end of our service, I want us to be able to put the word into action in a couple of ways. In just a moment, the band is going to come back up here. And we're going to practice a very ancient tradition. It's called the passing of the peace. Some people use this time as something to just say, hello, how you doing? You know, maybe Bob smacks somebody on the back or something, you know. But really, it's more than that. You see, whenever Jesus shows up in the gospel and he meets his disciples, he says, peace be with you. And that's what we say to each other during this time. Peace be with you. But as we do that, look at one another. Think about what those words mean. I really want us to mean it when we say to one another, peace be with you, because friends, I want the peace of Christ for every one of you and everyone that I encounter. And if that means I have to tear the roof off a building to help you find that peace, then we'll do it.